Unfortunately, as it seems as of now, so we will have the observance of Tisha B'Av this coming next week. And what I want to do is something different than the regular halachos of Tisha B'Av. I want to go over the Gemara very quickly, that we are familiar with the Gemara and Gideon, of the story of Kansa and Bar Kansa. And then after we discuss that, we'll explain what we want to draw out of it. The Gemara and Gideon tells us, just in case people are not familiar with the Gemara, that there was a person who was having a party in Yerushalayim, and he invited his friend Bar Kansa to come to the party. And there was a mistaken invitation with the shliach who sent it, and it was delivered to the wrong place. And instead of his friend coming to the party, his enemy came to the party instead. And when his enemy showed up to the party, the host was furious that he was there. And the guest, who was mistakenly invited, was very embarrassed by the situation. So he asked if he could please stay. And the host said, "No, you have to get out. I don't want to see you here." And he said, "I'll pay for my meal." And the host said, "No, I don't want you to hear at all. Get out of my house. I don't want to see you." And then he said, "I'll pay for half the party." And he said, "No." He said, "I'll pay for the entire party." And he picked him up and he threw him out. And as the Gemara recounts, that all of the Rabbanim of the Tzaddikim of Yerushalayim were there, and they observed what happened, and nobody said anything. And eventually our antagonist, he went to the Caesar, he went to the governor, and he asked him, you know, he had a plan in order to lead to the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. And that led to the events unfolding that led to the Khorban of the Beis HaMikdash. And as the Gemara says, Al Kamsu Bar Kamsa, because of the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa that led to Yerushalayim, either literally because of that particular event or because of the Midos reflected in the story and the actions of all of the parties, everybody is at fault, according to all the Mefarshim. Nobody is clean in the story. According to all the parties involved, that attitude towards one another led to the destruction of Yerushalayim. What we want to bring out now is, because of this Gemara, because of this story, I want to point out three halachos in Shulchan Aruch that are brought down, and in part because of the story. Places where decisions were made in halacha by Chazal for three different things because of the events of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and try to bring them together and show their common theme. The first we have over here, the first halacha, is based on a takana of Rabbeinu Gershom, one of the charamim, one of the enactments of Rabbeinu Gershom, Me'or HaGola. And we're familiar with the famous ones, not marrying more than one wife, and divorcing women against her will, looking at people's mail, all these different types of things. But there's another takana, there's a lot of things. You'll find different versions of the charamim of the takanos in different svarim amongst the Yishonim. But here we have a different one. This is brought down in the Or HaSchaim, Rav Aaron of Lunel, who was the end of the Baal Yatosos. He wrote his Sefer Or HaSchaim because he traveled around all of Europe and he could never find a Sefer, whatever he needed. So he said, "This is ridiculous, there's no Sfarim anywhere." So he wrote a Sefer bringing together all of the practical halachos so that people could have everything in one place. So he writes in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses in Simen Chavav. This is also brought in the Kolbo in Simen Kuf Tes Zayin in the name of Rabbeinu Gershom. And they say that a person has a private space. You have a private space, and you lend this space for a shul to use. Either it's your own shul, you're running out of a private space, or you're lending it to other people to use. If you end up having a disagreement with another person, with one of the mispalim, you're not allowed to ban that individual from coming to the shul. What you can do is you can close down the whole shul. You can say nobody can come. But you cannot pick out individuals and say, you particularly are not allowed to come and daven in the main. This is cited in Shulchan Aruch in two places. One is in Yeradei and Simen Reish Chav Dalet, but here we'll look in Aruch Chaim and Simen Kuf and Gimel Sif Tes Zayin, where the Shulchan Aruch says, Mi shehisho beiso lebeis haknesses, one who allows his home to be a beis haknesses, v'yesh lo merive mecha me'akal, and you have disagreement with one of the people in the congregation, eino yacho la'asra, you cannot forbid this individual from coming. Unless you say, no one can come. You can't pick out one individual. What is the reason for this takana? Where does it come from? Let's look first at the Tashbates. The Tashbates has tshuvos that are published in the Tashbates called the Shalos Tshuvos Chodim Mishulosh. This is in the Tur HaRishon in Simen Zayin. Let me tell you the story that leads up to the question. So the Tashbates tells us that Yaakov bought a place on his own to start a minyan, his own shul, because he wanted to be the shliach tzibor. He couldn't get a chazan job anywhere, so he said, I'll start my own shul, and I'll be the chazan of the shul, and that'll be the rule in the shul. He served as the shliach tzibor beautifully, wonderfully, he inspired everyone for 20 years. He left three sons. Reuven became the Shliach Tzibor afterwards because he had a nice voice. And then Shimon died, and Levi wasn't capable of fulfilling. He didn't have a nice voice, so Levi didn't become part of the shul. Later, Reuven was invited to be the Shliach Tzibor in another shul. Another town wanted him, and he was going to go there and daven at that shul. So he wanted to appoint the next successor to take over the shul, this privately run shul. So he wanted his son, Chanoch, to come in place, that he should be the chazan. However, Levi, the son who didn't know how to sing well, and therefore didn't feel it was appropriate to sing, said that he's also shayach, he's also connected to the shul. How come Reuven gets to pick his son? Says Levi, maybe one of my sons should go. He had a son who wasn't old enough yet, but he had a son-in-law. So he said, maybe my son-in-law should sing until my son is older, and then he'll become the chazan of the shul. I should get that Yerusha, I should get that inheritance from my father to have him go and sing there. So this is the shayla that came. Which son has the right to pick their offspring to go and be the Shliach Tzibor in the shul? And at a certain point in the discussion, the Tashbetz is discussing a lot of other different types of things. So he cites this takana of Rabbeinu Gershom. Because one brother may be threatening, well, maybe you'll say, this one can't daven here. This is my shul, I can decide if I can daven in the shul or not. So, the Tashbetz says, the name of Rabbeinu Gershom, that you can prohibit the whole tzibur, but not one. And he explains why. He says, D'mai shna al hayachid einu yachal osra, v'al hakal b'chal yachal osra. He says, why is it that we're okay with him shutting down the shul for everyone, but not for one person? If I tell everyone in the community, you know, shul's closed, you can't use it, so what are they going to do? Go open another shul, because they need a daven, right? You can't have a community without a shul. Aval kishaosra al hayachid ma havale laosa yachal amaved. V'yishav lo tfilas harabim. If you go and tell this individual you can't daven the shul, who says there's another shul around? What is he going to do? Where is he going to go and daven? It's not fair. The whole tzibur can go start another minyan. If I tell one person, how is he going to daven tefillah b'tzibur with the community if he's kicked out of the shul? This is the explanation brought by the Tashbetz. It's cited by other postmen as well, the Zera Emes and Chelek Aleph, the Magen Giborim. That's reason number one. Let's look here in the Mishnah Berurah. Oh, I forgot to bring the Mishnah Berurah. So I'll tell you what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah writes here in Simen Kuf Nun Gimel, in Sifkat and Peches, he says, Hainu mitzad hacherim de Rabbeinu Gershom or Hagola sheyesh al zeh v'hatam nira. Why did he say this? Shechashashu l'bizayon tahahu gavra. Because we are concerned of the embarrassment of this individual, that he was told as an individual that he cannot come and daven in the shul. And then this says the Mishnah Berurah, Ayin Gittin Nun Zayin. Look in the Gemara in Gittin by Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. And he says, this is where Rabbeinu Gershom got the idea from. To go and pick at an individual that he can't be participant in what's going on and everybody else can. This is the spirit of the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. Masha'ein King Kishiyatso Lekulam Leika Kisufa. There's no embarrassment if everyone can come. So says the Mishnah Berurah, this halach is based on the principles of the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. What's the nafkamina? What's the practical difference between the two? So the Tashbetz says clearly inside, if there's another shul in town. If there's another shul in town, so kick out this guy. He'll go down at the other shul down the street. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, it doesn't work. Because it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that this person was kicked out. And therefore, according to the Mishnah Berurah, even if there's another shul in town, you can't stop one person from coming to the private minyan. Now, what are the details regarding the halacha? Very quickly, before we go on to the next inyan. So the tshuva, the Maritz Salon, so he writes in Siman Kuf Tzadi Zayin, he says that if the Baal HaBayis does violate the sakana, if the owner of the shul says you're not allowed to come, it still stands. It still stands. You can't, he shouldn't have done it, it was wrong, but it's still his shul. You can't stop him from who he's going to let in and not let into the shul. And the Eliyahu Rabbah explains, based on the lashon of Rabbeinu Gershom that we have, the language that's brought down from Gershom is Eino Rishai. He shouldn't do it. It's not the right thing to do. And therefore he says, the ban still stands. This is also understanding the Prima Gadim. The Bir Halacha also cites the similar explanation over here as well, if you look. But he's uncertain based on the Maris Shalom. But according to what the Rishonim say in the postgame, if he says that you can't do it, then it was wrong, but it's still his pick to decide what he wants to do. Then he continues and says that he agrees that the Takana is only for a space that has Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. And this is very important, because a house minion generally does not have Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Yeah. That's a reason why you shouldn't have a house minion. But another thing.
And no place has Kedushas Beis HaKnesses either.
Of course, why not?
Because we were here, we have the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses.
It still has Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. On top of it, it might have a Kedusha Beis HaMedrash. But we still have.
And it makes sense. You can't sleep. You can't do anything.
We don't sleep in here.
They eat here.
What?
We eat here.
We do that for the sake of Talmud Torah. For the sake of learning.
They have people after your sites they come here. That's not Talmud Torah.
That doesn't take away from the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses. We assume unless the building is built on a condition that it doesn't have Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses, place that is dedicated for the sake purpose of Tefillah has a greater Kedush and Davening than a person's basement. That's for sure.
That's different than Kedush Beis HaKnesses.
It's totally because of Kedush Beis HaKnesses.
The only issue they told us, nobody, there hasn't been a Beis HaKnesses built with Kedush Beis HaKnesses in North America, and nobody says it.
I don't know if that's true, according to everybody. I'm not saying just something they didn't tell you that, but I don't know if everybody agrees to that opinion. Let's move forward.
The Chuvas
the Maharam Padua, so he writes in Simon Pehe, and he says that the Balabais made a condition when he set up the shul, and he said that I can pick who's going to come or not come to the shul, so then he's allowed to do so. He has a lot of foresight, apparently, this Balabas. He said, I know I'm going to be upset at somebody in the future, and I know that in the future I'm going to kick somebody out. So if he made it on such a condition, then it works. And this is Sayyid Halacha by the Ramah. I didn't bring the Ramah. Oh, the Ramah is over here. He says, Kozman sheyirtza limchos, yeh biyado limchos, o shalol hisha lehem beferush, alahanicham likanes lebeso, o rishus biyado limchos. Right? If he did it on condition that I would be able to kick people out, then it would work. And this is cited by all the poskim, but a lot of the poskim find this to be very difficult. Because according to all of the reasons, whether it's an issue of Tula Betzibur or whether it's an issue of embarrassing someone, why does it matter if you made a condition? Were you allowed to make a condition to embarrass someone? Like, I can do whatever I want because I made a condition that I can treat a person inappropriately. That doesn't seem to hold any water, so you leave this as a tzarachim. The Ishul Avram says that it's after davening, and it's not davening anymore, according to the reason of the Tashbates, then you can tell the person to leave. Meaning, I'll allow him to come down with us, but afterwards, if we're sitting around schmoozing or having a kiddush, so then you're allowed to kick the person out because it's not going to lose feel of the tzibur. There's an amazing tshuva from the Vayan David. Vayan David was the dayan in Antwerp. So he has over here the case about an individual who has a private kola or a base medrash. And in this base medrash, it happened once that there was a chevra, a kola, learning the base medrash, and someone came to learn in the base medrash, and they said, you know, it's a base medrash, it's really, you have a chevra over here, we're learning together, and we don't really want you learning the base medrash, can you go somewhere else? So the guy was upset, and the people in the kola sent a tshuva to the Vayan David asking about, you know, whether they could have done that or not, whether that was appropriate. So he spends the majority of the tshuva saying that Mikra Adin, the Takana Rabbeinu Gershon, is not talking about a base medrash. It's talking about davening, and really, according to the letter of the law, it's perfectly fine. But look at the end of the tshuva. He writes very strongly. He says, "Ubipratei hakolel she'atah shoel alav einani yoda." He says, "I don't know anything about your kolel. Ela dila halacha tucha linkos mehanal v'zela inyan dine mamas." Everything I spoke until now was about ikar of the din of money issues. Mihu inyan dine nefashos, about how we treat other people. A person who embarrasses someone is like they've murdered them. There's no permission for what you guys did. To tell someone they can't come and learn your base medrash. If he was being annoying and disturbing your learning, he was damaging you. But that's not our case. You acted in a way of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. And then he says, V'yadua kushas ha'olam, He says, people ask a question on Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Ma chet b'chol inyan? Why was Kamsa held responsible? He wasn't even at the party. Why was he held responsible? V'shamati b'shem avbeisin tekila kadoshos grod zal shetireitz davar d'kamsa lamaba. He says, why? He answered that Bar Kamsa, why did he come? Meaning, what happened at the party? Why did Bar Kamsa show up if he knew from the beginning that there was a mistake? It was so strange him to get the envelope of the invitation, he knew something was off. So what did he say? Didn't he know there was a mistake? So maybe he thought, my enemy wants to make up with me. But he was unsure. Does he want to make up with me? Does he not want to make up with me? So he said, let's go test it out. Im nimsa sham kamsa, if I walk in there and kamsa is there, so what do I see? He wanted to make up with me because he invited me and kamsa, right? Be'adua l'faiso ba. Masha'en kinim kamsa einenu sham, but if I see that kamsa is not there, pashu sheish tos v'davar, it must be there was a mistake. Because shenichnas l'sod matza sham is kamsa. So he makes the following assumption. He says that Bar Kamsa must have walked in and he saw that Kamsa was there. That the friend of his host was there. So the rabbi who's explained this wanted to say that his mistake was in coming because he didn't come with an invitation. That it was his fault for coming knowing that he didn't have an invitation. And Kamsa must have walked in. His best friend was having a party. Of course he was going to show up. And he saw Bar Kamsa there. He should have stuck up for Bar Kamsa and gone to the friend and said, leave the gentleman alone. And it would have helped the rest of the Jewish people if he would have stood up. And then he says, I heard that after you guys did this, the person who walked into the Beis Medrash was broken. And you wanted to pay him money and he wouldn't accept it. So everybody in the kollel felt what? Oh, we paid him, we tried to pay him money, and that should be enough. We wiped our hands clean of the episode. But you left off the words of the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tav Reish Vav, Shekasav, who wrote, Vin Eino Shemispayis Berishona Yachs Veilech Pam Shino Veshlishas. The halach is you have to go back a second and a third time. We spoke about this by Rosh Hashanah a few years ago. You have to go back two and three times. You have to go back to this gentleman and correct the mistake that you made. So he wants to say, yes, Mikra Din, it's after Shul, it's a base medrash, all the different excuses in the world. But what's the spirit of the law, as the Mishnah Berurah says? Kamsa bar kamsa. To kick another Jew out of a place if he's not hurting you, totally inappropriate. The Zera MS continues, and he says that if the individual is bothering other people, right, as we quoted before, that you have permission to pick him out, Nechem Derbeinu Gershon doesn't apply to such a situation, but he says it has to be done l'shem shemayim, with the proper kavana, not just because you don't like the person coming up with excuses. That's halacha number one, that we learn out from Kamsa bar kamsa. Halacha number two. The Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos and Kufnam Chesam Abay says, and we discussed this when we talked about counting Jews, the Mishnah says that a person can count how many guests he has or how many plates of food he needs only orally. You can't look at a list. You can't look at a written list to see how many guests are going to be there. The Gemara there in Kufnam Chesam Shabbos explains, Amachlokas Amorayim, as to why you can't read the list. So one opinion says that you may come to erase a name if the person's not coming. We don't want to violate Mamachlik on Shabbos. The other opinion says that there's a gzeira of shtari hajotos. You're not allowed to read secular, mundane words, literature, whatever it may be, on Shabbos. This is a whole place in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos in Simon Shin Zayin. Now there's a machlokas we've shown him, which reason do we follow? Do we not read things on Shabbos because you might come to a race or because of shtari hajotos? So you're not allowed to read secular, mundane things on Shabbos. The Baal Ma'or says it's because you may come to a race, and this is the opinion of many Rishonim. And the Radvaz says this is a bit far-fetched because the Radvaz writes in the Tshuva, someone who's shomer Shabbos every single aspect in life, but this thing is going to go a race on Shabbos, it seems to be strange. that all of a sudden the guy's going to go violate one of the 39 melachos and start erasing things on Shabbos out of nowhere. You know you can't erase on Shabbos. The Rif and the Rambam and the Rush all say, and this is the halach in Shulchan Aruch, it's because of Shtari Hadyotos. To not read secular things on Shabbos, anything you read on Shabbos, even according to the Rashi and the Gra, who have the most leans opinion, it has to be Sifrei Chachma, something that's going to be, you know, give you a bit of wisdom, not People Magazine. Things like that are not appropriate for Shabbos because of Shtari Hadyotos, and that is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. There are issues that are more complicated. People are generally not aware of this halacha, but this is the din in Shulchan Aruch. Now, look at the Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva writing in the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Shin Zayin, Os Dalet. He says that the minag is that the Shamish is allowed to read the list on Shabbos. You cannot read the list, but your housekeeper is allowed to read the list to check the list of who's coming and who's not coming. What does he write? V'haminag shehashamish korei mitoch haksav. The shamish, the house help, is allowed to read the list to see who's coming. De'al hashamish makiro lo gazru afu l'davar harishus. We even allow him to read something that's rishus, totally mundane. Sheyesh lachush lachorva. Because we want to prevent another destruction. V'takala, and a terrible mistake. Ka'ovdin bar kamsa. Because we learn from bar kamsa. This is what we can do to explain the minhag. Because what happened? The shamish, the assistant of the host, didn't read the list properly, and he invited the wrong person. So in order not to embarrass a guest on Shabbos of who's supposed to be at the Shabbos table and who's not supposed to be at the Shabbos table, is someone going to come to the Shabbos table and there's not going to be a place setting for them? So the Shamish, who made the mistake in the Gemara and Gittin, is allowed to go and read it. So this is the second halacha we learn from Kamsa Bar Kamsa, that we allow the helper of the person in charge to go and participate and look at the list in order to save somebody's embarrassment. This comes out halacha lemaisa. The Orach HaShabbos writes in Perach Chaf Beis that the gabbai of the shul that has a list of who should get kibudim from the Baal Simcha, there's no problem. He says, the Baal Simcha should not read the list because that's his simcha and you're not allowed to read Shtari Hadyotos. You're not allowed to read these types of things. But the gabbai of the shul who's acting as the shamash, he's the helper of the Baal Simcha, is allowed to read from the list of kibudim. Why? For this reason, not to embarrass someone. This one's supposed to get shlishi, this one's supposed to get hagba, we don't want to mix them up, he's going to get offended, he thought he was going to get revi and not chamishi. So therefore, in the spirit of kamsa bar kamsa, the gabbai should read the list to make sure that nobody is embarrassed and everyone gets the proper kibudim and to prevent machlokas similar to that of kamsa bar kamsa. Let's turn now to the third halacha we find in Shulchan Aruch that resonates with the spirit of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. There is a Gemara in Msachim on Pei Vav and Rebeis. The Gemara says that Rav Huna Bar Rav Nasan was visiting Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, and they offered Rav Huna a place to sit on the bed and have a drink. And Rav Huna didn't refuse, and he sat on the bed and he had a drink. So they asked him why he agreed to sit on the bed if only very chashuv people sit on the bed. That's for the very, we're not talking about like the bed in your room. We're talking about like a bed, like a day bed, that people, like a long couch. So how come you sat there if only very chashuv people sit there? So he answered them, Kol ma sheyomer lecha bal habayis asay. Whatever the Baal HaBayis tells you to do when you're a guest, you have to do it. He wants you to stand, say, he wants you to sit, say, he wants you to try this, whatever it is, you have to do whatever the Baal HaBayis says. This is Sagid Lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch, in the Halachos of Suda, in Simen Kuf Ayin, Sif Hey, the tour brings a whole story about somebody who lived in the days on the run who acts in a very strange way, and a lot of the Rishonim and a lot of the Acharim discuss the case of the tour, but that's not for us right now. The Magen Avraham says that the Derech Eretz is to wait a little bit and not do it immediately, right? You have to, Derech Eretz is don't jump at everything the Baal HaBayis says. First you say no, and then you can go and do it as well. The Chida writes in the Birka Yosef that the guest has a chumrah to not eat something, even though it is mutmikra din, like paspalter. Let's say somebody has a chumrah, they don't eat factory-made breads, they're going to be careful about this. They're going to be careful on paspalter in all forms all year round. Now, mikra din is paspalter, factory-made bread, mutter, 100%. Paspalter is a chumrah on top of the main halacha. So it says the Chida, you don't have to listen. Because that's a normal chumrah to keep. If the balabas says, I have wonderful bakery bread here from the local Italian bakery, it's 100% kosher, you should try some. So my chumrah is a perfectly valid chumrah. I don't have to listen to such a case and sacrifice on my chumrah because he wants to give me something in his home. This is cited by the Mishnah Berurah. However, it says in the Mishnah Berurah, if you're machmer in something that has no inyan at all, your own mishigas, and there's no formal, real basis that there's a real minhag like this to do it, then you need to get over your mishigas and your silliness, and you should listen to the balabas when you're in his home as well. Now, I left out the two most important words in the Gemara. Because there is a machlokus in the girsos in the versions of the Gemara, and the Gemara says that if a balabas asks you to do something that makes you look, before I get to the Gemara, the Gemara says that if the balabas wants you to do something that will make you look great, but you don't want to do it because of humility, right? The balabas says, get up and tell us about, you know, the amazing time where you went and you saved the drowning dog, and then you helped the old lady cross the street, and then, you know, you painted a masterful work of art. Tell everybody at the table the story. Now, it's making you look good, but it makes you feel very uncomfortable. You're humble, you have a sense of humility, and you don't want to do such a thing. Do you have to listen to the balabas? So the Birkei Yosef says that if he asks you to do something that's not the chavod, you also have to listen. And in this case, you also have to listen as well if he wants to make you look greater than you are. However, says the Birkei Yosef, if the balabas asks you to do something that is mevaza you, that makes you look in a lesser way, that will make you appear unbecoming and not nice to people around you, you don't have to embarrass yourself because the host asked to do something. Mishnah Berurah says that if he asks you to eat something that will make you sick or uncomfortable, you don't have to eat it as well, right? If he wants you to eat Brussels sprouts, and every single time you think of Brussels sprouts, it makes you feel ill, you don't have to eat Brussels sprouts. You don't have to hurt yourself because of your host. The Drisha then notes the following thing, our Gemara, right? The Gemara, according to our Girsa, has in parentheses, Koma sheyomer lecha balabayis asay, everything he has to do, you have to do, except chutz mitzei, unless the host tells you to leave. However, many editions don't have this. In fact, the Meiri says that some of the late sunim, some of the clowns, added this phrase to the Gemara and should be omitted. There's an Acharon who writes that clowns must have gone and played with the Meiri and put this inside the Meiri and changed the Meiri's writing. So each one thinks the other one is wrong. The Maharsha says that the correct version, the correct sefer, the words chutz mitzei were deleted. However, in the Zohar, we have versions that do include chutz mitzei. So there's a machlokus here regarding the correct girsas. Let's play and assume with this girsa for a moment that it's telling you everything the host tells you to do, you have to do except to leave. What would this be referring to? So the Bach says the Baal Bais is asking his guest to go and run an errand for you. The host says, I need milk to finish this disc. Please go to the store and get me a thing of milk. You don't have to listen. It's not your job to be his errand boy. You don't have to go get something for the host. The Mata Moshe says it's referring to paying customer who's renting a space, right? You have someone who's staying by you and he's paying you to stay there. And if he tells you, you're done paying, I don't want your money anymore, get out of the house, I'm kicking you out. So the Magen Avraham cites both explanations. He agrees with the Mata Moshe that if you're a paying customer in a place and you've paid your rent, whatever it is, so he's not allowed to kick you out. That's the halacha. The Maharsha thinks the Mata Moshe doesn't make sense because how can we force the balabais to host a guest? If he doesn't want to accept your money as the host, you don't have to. Why does he have to take your money? I don't want your money, and you can't stay here. So this is the opinion of the Maharsha. The Morag Tzir of Yaakov Emden says the balabais is asking for the guest to be tsay from his shita, his opinions, right? To go against the Torah. You have a certain chumrah, whatever it is, you have a certain halacha that you follow, and the Baal Bas is saying, say, leave that perspective on the Torah. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, you don't have to listen to him in such a case. The Torah Schaim says the Baal Bas is asking the guest to give up a level of precious, similar explanation, a certain level of chumrah that he has, he doesn't have to give it up. The Yalkut Gershoni on the Gemara cites a shita of the Gra. There's actually a very interesting story in the Hakdama of the children to the Bir HaGra in Shulchan Aruch about the Vilna Gaon having this something about when he went into Galus and he was alone and he was traveling through Europe, he had some sort of incident with people feeding him food and not wanting to listen to them. But the Yaakov Grishoni says that the Gra is telling us here that a person needs to be sensitive to know when it's time to leave, right? A person shouldn't stick around by his host until he tells him, say. So how does the Gra read the Gemara? Kol mashom lecha balabayis asay, chutz mitzay. Whatever the host tells you, you have to do, but don't wait until the end when they're wrapping up the dishes and everyone's going home and you're still hanging on and he has to say, you know, it's time to go home. Say. Don't be that hanger-on who's always schlepping around and clearly everyone's gone and the balabas has to embarrass himself and say, you know, it's really time to go home. You know, we want to shut out the lights, we want to go to sleep and you're still here. Don't be that person, says the Gra. The Reishis Chachma cites his Rebbe, Moshe Cordovero, in the Shar HaKadusha in Perek Yud Zayin, who explains that this refers to Avodas Hashem. This is, he explains Al Derech Rash. The Gemara Chagiga talks about Elisha ben Avuya, right? Elisha ben Avuya heard a bas kol, he heard a sound telling him that everyone can return back to a Kadosh Baruch and do tshuva, except for Elisha ben Avuya, also referred to as Acher, right? And what did Elisha ben Avuya say? Okay, it must be I have no tshuva, and you know, I give up on Yiddishkeit, I give up on the Torah, and he walked away from everything. So says the Reishis Chachma, quoting Rav Moshe Cordovero, whatever the Balabas tells you, whatever simanim, signs you have from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, from Shemaim, whatever it may be, you have to listen to Hashem. But if a Baskel comes out and says, say, we don't want you anymore, you're not connected to Yiddishkeit, we don't want you or your Torah, you don't have to listen to it. No baskel, no sign from Shemayim can ever tell a person you're not connected anymore to the Torah. And that's what the lesson is. Whatever the Balabas tells you, whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you, you have to listen, except if you have some inkling that Hashem is telling you, you have to leave Torah Mitzos and leave a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now let's turn to Kam Tzubar Kam. So writes the Sfas Emes and our Gemara here in Sachem. He says, the Gemara kol machutz mitzay, yesh lomar, one can say, Shetiknu kain achar hamaisa debar kamsa. This is a gzeira. This is a takana, says the Sfas Emes, because of the events of kamsa bar kamsa. Disa ban azikin shira kilka ayadeza shiotzio shenechar beis hamikdash. Because of the episode, the beis hamikdash was destroyed. Lachin amru shebiyad haorech shelo lishmo letzeis lepamim kashiyelom yizeh busha gedola. The guest does not have to leave if the balabas, if the host tells him to leave, because it will lead to an embarrassment. But there are those who don't include the words chutz mitzei. They think it's its own halacha, not connected to kamsa bar kamsa. And why is it in parentheses? Because the main halacha was whatever the balabas tells you have to do. And then after kamsa bar kamsa occurred, says the Sfas Emes, they came and added on chutz mitzay. If the balabas tells you to leave, the owner tells you you don't have to go, because you don't. Person should not have to embarrass himself. So we have three halachas brought down in Shulchan Aruch, all stemming from the episode of kamsa bar kamsa, all with the same meaning of sensitivity to other people. Whether that means not kicking people out of shul, whether that means the shamish, the system has help in order not to embarrass people, or simply not listening to a host who's treating one improperly. But let's not forget the fourth halacha that comes from Kamsa Bar Kamsa, which is not having sinas chinam, having avas yisrael, and simply treating people properly. And all of these things, these halachas in Shulchan Aruch, wouldn't have to be here, essentially, according to the Mefarshim, if it wasn't for the episode. And these halachos should give us sensitivity to how we treat other people in shul, at home, in our families, in order to have proper derech eretz, and to treat people not in the spirit of kamsa bar kamsa.